Turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to talk a little bit about joy tonight. Joy. Joy is a great word. It's a great concept. It's a great thought. Joy comes from the Lord. And if we were to give a title to the message tonight, we'd call it The Joy That Strengthens. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 is where we're going to be concentrating. But, you know, to set things up, if you know the story of Nehemiah, the children of Israel are in captivity. And Nehemiah was burdened. He had a really good job, even in captivity. He was the king's cupbearer, which basically meant that he was almost like a bodyguard for the king, but specifically around, you know, food and drink. Anything that the king ate or drank, he would eat it or drink it first to make sure it didn't have poison in it and it wasn't going to make the king sick. And, you know, the king trusted him. And so they had a good relationship. Well, one day, Nehemiah was in the king's presence and he was really sad. And the king noticed. So what is going on with you? Why are you so sad? And he said, you know, I just can't get Jerusalem off my mind. I really, really, really want to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild my city. And wouldn't you know it, the king said, you know what, let's do that. Now, I mean, there's a long story I'm making very brief here. But they had gone through, you know, by the time we get to chapter 8, they have gone through a lot of trials and struggles. The king had said, go rebuild your city, and I grant you permission. But they had all kinds of struggles. I mean, Tobias and Sanballat, and they caused all kinds of problems for him. And they were in a tight spot. They were in a really tough spot. And here we get to Ezra chapter 8. Now, mind you, there's a lot more that goes into the story. And for the sake of time, we're not going to go into all of that. But when we get to chapter 8, the prophet Ezra began to read the scriptures to them. And let's start in verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 10. And it says here in Nehemiah 8, verse 1, it says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel." So let's stop right there for a minute. They had strayed, right, from their biblical living. And they knew it. They were under conviction. And they said, we want to hear from the Lord. And they asked Ezra, we're going to get everybody together. Can you read us the law of Moses? So let me go on. It says, "And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Before the men and women, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for that purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on the right hand, and on the left hand, Padiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadadana, and Zechariah, and Meshulam." What's wrong with Bill, and Bob, and George, you know? "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen. Amen, with lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akab and Shabbatai and Hodijah and Maaseiah, Kelita, a lot of these guys. It caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest of the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Now, let me tell you why they wept.
They wept because they realized that they had not been living for the Lord. They were under deep conviction. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, says the word of God is perfect and sharp and perfect and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow and of the soul and the spirit. The word of God is piercing, and it gives us instruction for life, but it also gives us correction, and it shows us where that we have strayed. And it shows us how we can get back into fellowship with Him. That's what the Bible does. Amen. And like we said this morning in Romans 8:28, we ended the sermon with that. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them who are called in according to His purpose. Listen, God has a very good plan for your life. But we have to remember it's His plan. And sometimes we get off track, start doing our own things. And we start doing things that we shouldn't do and thinking things that we shouldn't think and behaving ways that we shouldn't behave. Now, I would venture to guess there's nobody in this room that's involved in deep, dark sin that is, you know, just covered up. Maybe you are, and if you are, you better get straightened out. But, you know, we stray sometimes. We take our focus off the Lord and we stray. And the children of Israel had done that. And he said, Ezra and Nehemiah said, mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send the portion of them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry. And then this last part, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Here in the middle of a tough time for the children of Israel, Nehemiah is telling them, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There are seasons in life when happiness seems to feel out of reach, right? Moments where circumstances don't cooperate, prayers seem delayed. What we see around us doesn't give us much reason to smile. And if we're honest, we often chase after happiness because happiness feels natural. Happiness is a response to a circumstance, right? I mean, even there's a lot of things in life that we do them because we want that dopamine hit, or we want that sense of happiness, right? And listen, there's nothing wrong with happiness. Happiness is a blessing from the Lord. Happiness is a wonderful thing, and it's great to be around happy people, right? But joy is much deeper than happiness. Joy is not a response to circumstance. Joy is something that comes from the Lord. So we chase happiness. It feels natural. It makes sense. It's us responding to what's going well. But the Bible introduces us to something deeper, something stronger, something more sustaining than happiness. Joy comes from the Lord. And nowhere is that truth more clear than here in Nehemiah chapter 8. The people were down, depressed, and then they were beat up when they read. They wanted to hear the word of the Lord, and they read the word, they heard the word of the Lord, and they realized how bad things were in their own lives. And Nehemiah said, listen, things may not look great in your life right now, but guess what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the first thing we see here in this passage is we have a people confronted with their reality. The setting of this passage is not one of celebration, it's one of conviction. The walls of Jerusalem have been rebuilt under Nehemiah by this point. That alone in and of itself was a miracle and should have brought the people together and given them happiness, right? Ezra the scribe began to read the word of God, and then as they listened, something very powerful happens. They started to weep. Why? Because they realized how far they drifted. The word exposed their sin, their neglect, their disobedience. It wasn't a happy moment. It was not a comfortable moment, but it was a spiritual awakening. And that's what joy, that's what can bring joy in our lives, is that spiritual awakening, such as an 80-year-old man getting baptized. that'll bring you joy. That'll bring you happiness too. But the joy that comes in that man's life, I cannot imagine how he feels. Or woman. Yeah. But the joy that she must feel tonight is immeasurable. It's an important truth. Happiness cannot survive certain moments, but joy always can. When life confronts you with truth, when God reveals your need, happiness fades quickly. So here we see an unexpected and somewhat out of the blue seeming command. Right in the middle of the sorrow, something unexpected happens. Nehemiah steps forward with a message that almost seems out of place. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He tells them, stop weeping, go celebrate, have a meal, eat. You know, sometimes when we're feeling down, we just need a plate of food, right? Let me tell you, that's why I love being a Baptist. Man, ain't no potluck party like a Baptist potluck party. Let me just tell you. Last night, we were talking at dinner. Jennifer was raving about something that you make, Jolene. She said some kind of little sandwiches with like some kind of jam on it. And I don't know, you put it something in the oven. I don't know what it was, but it sure sounded good. And it was like raisin bread and I don't know, something. There you go. That right there. That sounded amazing. Let me tell you, that's right straight out of a Baptist potluck dinner right there. And let me tell you, sometimes you just need to eat a meal. It's commanded in Scripture. It says right here, look at what it says. Look at what it says. It says, then he said to them, go your way. First thing, eat the fat. You know what that is? That's bacon. I mean, 70% of a slice of bacon is fat, right? That's good stuff. I got to eat a lot to keep my weight up. Actually, I've lost a lot, so that's another story. But you know, sometimes God brings things into our lives to give us joy. And frankly, and I don't mean to be cute with this, but God does give us food for our enjoyment. We shouldn't overindulge. I've done way too much of that. But God can bring joy in our hearts and joy in our lives in very unexpected ways. Sometimes it's a raisin toast sandwich with, you know, cheese and apricot jelly or whatever you put on it. I don't know. It's something. But, you know, it comes in mysterious ways and in unusual ways. And that's exactly what's happening here. They're in the midst of deep sorrow of their hearts. And Nehemiah said, it's okay. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. He said, stop weeping. Go celebrate. Have a meal. Share with others. Rejoice. Why would he say that? Because while their sorrow was understandable, it was not meant to be their dwelling place. It was not meant to be what defines them. Conviction was meant to lead them somewhere, not to leave them stuck. You know, wouldn't it be awful if Jesus came to this world and instead of dying in our place on the cross, he looked at the condition of the world and he said, you know what? Yeah, devil's right. You're not worth saving. I'm going back to heaven. Jesus didn't do that. He came to this world and he saw a rotten, dirty, rotten, sinful world that needed a redeemer. And he died on a cross in our place so that we can have salvation. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So in a seemingly unexpected time, he said, you can have joy. The difference between happiness and joy is a very powerful distinction that we can see in Scripture. Happiness is tied to circumstance. Joy is tied to God. Human nature is to seek happiness. Even in our Declaration of Independence, what does it say? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are all good things. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Well, as I said earlier, happiness is a blessing from the Lord, or that we can respond with happiness in a circumstance, but joy is tied to God. The people here had broken pasts. They had uncertain futures. Here they had gone and rebuilt the walls, and then it was like, now what? Have you ever gotten to a point in time in your life like that, where you've worked and worked and worked and worked and worked to achieve something, you achieve it, and then there's an immediate letdown? You know, after the holidays, every year, the month of January, there is what's called seasonal affective disorder, SAD, as an acrostic. Why is that? Because starting really in late November, there's in our country, we have Thanksgiving, and that's something to look forward to, and you enjoy, and then you enjoy, and Thanksgiving's over, and that starts Christmas season, and you have this great time that goes all through the month of December, and then you get to January, and it's like, now what? Yeah. Valentine's isn't till February, but okay. What do we do now? And it's cold. The days are short. It's, depending on the year, sometimes it gets snowy and icy. You get housebound. Y'all in Minnesota, is that right? Yeah. Yeah. What? North Carolina when it's not snowing. North Carolina when it isn't snowing in Minnesota. Okay, well, there you go. Well, see, there's joy in North Carolina, not as much joy in Minnesota in January, right? So you guys got to figure it out. But you know, it's interesting how you know, you get to a point, you hit a milestone, and then there's a letdown, and it doesn't seem natural, and that's what had happened here. The people had broken past, uncertain futures, incomplete restoration. There was very little in the situation to produce happiness, but Nehemiah didn't point them to their circumstances. He pointed them to the Lord. The joy of the Lord. There's no joy in comfort. There's no joy, real joy, in success. There's no real joy in everything going right, even, in your life. But the joy comes from who God is. The fourth thing that we see here is that joy comes from God Himself. Notice carefully, it says here that it's not just joy, it's our joy towards God. It says here, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy comes from Him. That means it originates with Him. It is given by Him, and it is sustained by Him. Their strength would not come from a rebuilt wall, not come from a renewed discipline. It would not come from improved behavior. It came from God's unchanging faithfulness in their lives. So the same God who bought them back, who helped them rebuild and spoke to them through His Word, was now offering them something greater than happiness. He was offering them His joy. So joy, the fifth thing we see here in this passage, is that joy produces strength. Nehemiah doesn't say joy is a nice to have. He says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Happiness can make you feel better, but joy will make you stronger. That joy that he's talking about here is strong enough to move forward after failure. Let's talk about that for just a minute. What defines a person? What defines me? Several things that define me, right? My name, my family, my background, where I'm from, my likes, dislikes. Some people would say that we are defined by our worst moments in life. I've heard preachers even talk about that. They wax eloquent on the scars of sin. And yes, sin scars. But Jesus has scars that covers any sin I've ever committed. Amen. It's on me to trust Him and His scars to cover me for the scars of my own sin. When I cast my burden on him, and that burden can be the devil's conviction of the sins that I may have committed in the past, and he keeps bringing up and reminding me, Jesus says, it's finished, right? Your sins are forgiven. We can live a victorious life filled with the joy that only God can bring in spite of our past. Amen. So don't ever get discouraged or bound down for something that happened 30, 40 years ago. Because let me tell you, there are people who have defined themselves based on their worst moment. Now, God doesn't work that way. God takes broken people, doesn't matter what broke them, God takes broken people, redeems them, saves them, and helps them move on with a joyful and victorious Christian life. And that's what he's doing here with the children of Israel here in Nehemiah. The joy that he's giving them or wants to give them is strong enough to move them forward after a failure, or to strong enough to endure uncertainty. It's strong enough to obey God even when it's hard. That day the people didn't just leave encouraged, they left strengthened. So in our own lives, there are moments in our lives that mirror Nehemiah chapter 8. Times of uncertainty, times of conviction, times when we don't feel like being happy, right? Times when we don't like what we see in ourselves. Times when circumstances are still not fully restored. And in those moments, happiness isn't going to cut it. But joy will. Because joy reminds you that God is still in control. God is still faithful. God is still working, even when you don't see it. God works in mysterious ways. And he orchestrates things to happen that many times we don't even know about it. But God, because of who he is, can bring us joy. So when you think about it, happiness says things are going well. Joy says God is still good. Happiness depends on what's happening. Joy depends on who God is. And when everything feels uncertain, when life doesn't make sense, when circumstances fall short, you still can stand on the truth that Nehemiah gave them here in Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. So we sang a song earlier that involved motions, right? So we're going to sing another song. Do you know the song, The Joy of the Lord is My Strength? You know that song? Well, you might when I start singing it. And if you know it, just sing it right along with me. It's real easy. It goes like this. You ready? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you know it? You heard it? All right. So then there's another verse that says this. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And this is the best verse right here. You ready? He fills my heart with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. He fills my heart with laughter. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. He fills my heart with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. One last verse. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, you can't sing that without smiling. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And you know what? The joy of the Lord, the song doesn't really do the joy of the Lord justice, because the joy of the Lord doesn't necessarily mean you're just laughing all the time, right? But I think you get the point. The joy of the Lord is something that comes from him and is within us. we Christians, we get to experience the joy of the Lord. And I'll finish with this. When years ago, I was an administrator for a startup hospice organization in Kansas City. And I worked there for about 4.5 years before I got into the technology side of the healthcare industry. And I got to know a lot of the families well. We were very small as an organization at the time, very small. And we'd get referrals from the doctors, and I would go with the nurses or the social workers and talk to the family about the services that we were going to provide and assure them that hospice care was there to help them, not just the patient, but also the family. And there was a stark contrast when you would go into the home of someone who knew the Lord and who had just been delivered with devastating news many times that their loved one wasn't going to make it and they were going to go on hospice care to provide the services that we would give them. And the response to that news was very different based on whether or not they knew the Lord. And when they was a family that was a family that loved the Lord, knew the Lord, there was an unusual peace many times, not always, but many times that there would be there. Even though they had just received really bad news, there was real peace. And then in contrast, you'd have families where that had just received the same news and it was chaos. Already fighting over possessions before their loved one had even gotten admitted to hospice care. Or angry at the hospital for, in their eyes or their minds, you didn't do enough. You're giving up on grandma. And it was such a stark contrast of the difference of the joy of the Lord and the peace that passes understanding and a family devoid of that. We Christians have a privilege of having the joy of the Lord be our strength. It transcends all areas of our life, or it should transcend all areas of our life, where that joy should be what defines us as Christians. It should be our joy that should be your definition as a person. Your joy that comes from God. That's what should define you. What defines you? How do people see you? Do they see you as an angry person? Do they see you as a not genuine person? They should see you with the joy filled in your life that God wants you to have. Because then that brings not just peace in your heart, but it also gives you an opportunity to witness for the Lord to other people. Let's not forget, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we need strength, regardless of what the strength is that we need or the circumstance for which we need it, God brings joy. He can bring joy into our hearts and lives in spite of it. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for everything you've done for us. We thank you so much for the joy that we can have through you and through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Lord, we thank you for the promise that you give us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Help us to be strengthened by that. In Jesus' name, amen.